Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And we have one in our studio right now from Prout Financial Design, Mr. Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner and Company. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. Thursday morning,
October 4th. I'm just kidding.
Hello. Where are we? June 13th. You would never know it, given the weather, of course.
No.
But I'm sleeping like a baby.
All about that. And I have, of course, with me Heidi and Shay.
Heidi Thompson and Shay Pataja.
Heidi Thompson is our managing director and master lead advisor with Ed Slot and Company. And Shay Pataja is our chief experience officer and director of marketing. Pleasure to have them both with us today in studio live. What a week it's been. Last Thursday evening, the Flourish event.
Oh, man, that was so fun.
It was
packed
awesome.
Out. See, smiles all around. Mm-hmm. What, about 45 or so women there?
50.
50.
Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. We were at the country club, and there were 50 ladies there. And I also had Alex Mitchell from Arc Seeds there to talk about her heirloom seeds business and gardening. Because she gets a lot of calls from women who say, I feel like I should know more about gardening, but I don't. I'm embarrassed. Mm-hmm. So I got to call you and have you help me. And I said, you know, that's what a lot of people say when it comes to financial information and understanding their own finances. I'm embarrassed. I feel like I should know more. I don't want to ask questions when I'm in with my advisor because I don't want to look stupid. So
here, let me break it down. From a man's point of view.
Okay.
Dig hole, insert seeds, water, earn money, take part of it, and invest it. There.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the bar.
It's so simple. Let's go to the bar. So we had, Heidi and I wrote the information. The class was about 2.5 hours long, and we were able actually to keep everyone's attention the entire time. And we had so much fun, and there were so many questions, and we had every from the novice investor to expert level was there. And, of course, it was great. So we do this every year, and we might do more of them if there's interest from the public.
Sounds like there is.
Contact Shay.
Flourish.
Yeah, in case they're interested in some of our breakout classes that mm-hmm. we might do. If they're interested, just contact us.
Yeah, we'll be doing towards the end of the summer, beginning of fall, we're going to be doing some breakout sessions, so mini classes.
On gardening or investing?
I don't think you get far if I'm going to teach on gardening.
Okay. Yeah, and you don't want to know my strategy for gardening. I just buy it, hope it works out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're going to do that in the fall, so
it'll be fun.
There's
Flourish.
The update.
Yep.
By the way, that was a week ago Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday during the day, you did not hear Dennis, Heidi, and Shay because Dennis donated this hour to the Gerald President Ford Boy Scouts of America for our annual Scoutathon fundraiser. And besides a nice donation from Prout Financial Design, along with the hour, they raised over $15,000.
Wow. Yes.
So thank you.
Fantastic.
To send every scout
That's
to
great.
Camp. Yes.
Scouts will
be enjoying camp thanks to you guys and all of our listeners who donated.
And amazing the number of voices that showed up to say, hey, we're in on this thing. Hmm. And the guys in the studio here, four or five when I came in to just briefly give a shout out. So it was really fun to see. Good. Obviously a great program for a lot of young people to get experience. Go for it. You bet. Love it. Today, we're talking about 401ks, maxing out your 401k plan, how to do it, why it's important, and what the process is, both putting money in and possibly taking it out. an important part of the concept. The
would you say that the 401k, when you meet with people, is the most common investment?
It is. That's what we're talking about. Because it is now turned into kind of the fundamental key 401s, 457, 403b, simple IRAs for people building wealth for their own retirement. How do I figure this out? Well, okay, you're going to need to. Because most, that's all they have access to. About 80% of the populace only has access to a retirement plan through their own saving. Through their own saving. That's why it's such a key component. The level of responsibility shift has been dynamic. All right, given that case, what do I need to figure out? First off, because you ask, understand your fears about putting some of your own money away. Why am I fearful about this? Well, because when I put it in there, it's in there forever. No, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. So thinking that through of why am I fearful of this and what are the ways I can draw it out? Many times you can draw out the money for a disability. Not that you'd care at this point, but death. And or if you're released from employment through your own choice or from that choice of your employer. So getting fired, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Is a reason that many people would believe, well, why would I save money in that plan? What if I lose my job? Well, the 401k goes with you, not only your contributions, but in many cases, the contributions of your employer as well. So we actually have a penalty exception sheet here that shows how to avoid the 10% penalty for early withdrawal from these plans. That would simply mean, yes, that you have access to it, even if you have to pay the tax on it. Oh, Dennis, you just went too far for me. I get it. What are the costs of getting the money out? Understand what those costs are.
What's the minimum age that you can pull it out without penalty? 70 and a half?
No. See, it's not nearly as long as you might think. The minimum age is, depending on when you're released from employment, is either 50 to 55, drawing money from that plan. Oh, I thought it was 59 and a half. No, yeah. It's not necessarily. If you're released from employment, for most 401k plans, you can draw the money out without a penalty at age 55.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the penalty exceptions include death, disability, medical expenses, sometimes IRS levies, and active reservists can also take money out. Age 55, as we mentioned, so there are a lot of different ways to draw money out without having to pay a penalty. And then the other case is, what if I have to pay the penalty? Could be worse things. The money is still yours to take in that event, if you absolutely have to take it. So confronting your fears and understanding that, the cost is not that great, given that I have to take it early, in the worst case scenario. Number two, do you have an emergency fund that you've set aside for those emergencies? Many won't start until, because they say, well, I don't have enough cash set aside. Mm. How much cash do you need? Generally 3 months of living expenses to get that thing going and started. First, have the money set aside so that for emergencies you can take care of those things. Then start thinking about putting money into the 401k, along with some other things to think about, which we'll discuss. But setting that money aside often is much easier than you might think. $50, $100, $150 per pay period. Not that painful for many. That's just a great way to think about starting. Start small with something like this. And in terms of saving, then understanding the concept of compounding, how much that money can grow over time. It's incredible. Many don't understand the compounding issue. And then how much to put in as a percentage of your compensation. Mm-hmm. Think about a goal of 10 to 20% of your compensation to put in. Now, that's a huge, wide range. Wide range. So someone who's making, put simply, let's say $50,000, 10% of your compensation is $5,000. You're about $400 a month. $400 a month.
Gross.
Great goal. That would be gross.
Gross or net?
Sure, gross. Yeah. But if you're putting in $400 a month, it's amazing what that can grow to over time using compounding.
They say somebody, wise man, once said, pay yourself first. Is that what they mean?
Yes.
Pay yourself. Put the money in the bank.
It is. So if you have some of those stop gaps, shooting toward that goal and steadily increasing those amounts, for those that are maxing out their contributions, the maximum amount they can put in, which is about 9% of all those working right now, they've talked about often that they believe it or not, they still can have fun. They can still have fun even maxing out their contributions.
You can't eat anything or drink anything or go anywhere, but you can have fun. It's the company you keep. It's the company you keep.
Well, you know, 10% can sound like a lot when you're just first starting out. So a lot of times maybe an idea is to start out putting in whatever the match is. So maybe we could go into that a little bit.
Now, yes. So the match. What does that mean, Heidi? What's the match?
The match is how much your employer is going to put in on your behalf up to a certain percent of your salary. And it can differ widely between employers. It can go 3%. I've heard of 12%, 10%. So
what that means is if you're putting in 3% of your compensation, which many may not know, what is that dollar amount? Talk to your HR person. If I'm putting in 3% of my compensation, what does that mean for each two-week check, for instance? How much should I put in? And then you're telling me then I'd get a 3% match from my employer. What does that mean in terms of rate of return? That's 100% rate of return of your investment that you initially put in.
That's pretty good.
You put in 3, you get 3 back.
Yes, yeah. Into your own account. So the match is a great way to improve your rate of return. And then something else to remember, if you're still working beyond 70 and a half, you can still make contributions to your 401k plan under most plan rules. You can still make deductible contributions or Roth contributions. Roth. What does that mean? If you're able to deduct the amount that you put into the plan, that means that you're not paying tax on it. The government is compensating you by the tax that you've saved to put money into that plan, 10, 15, 20%. So not only do you get the match from your employer in some cases, if you're deducting it or putting it into the deductible option within your 401k, you're paying the tax, you're saving the tax on the money going in.
Could you, and you mentioned being of 70 and a half, could you take your minimum required distribution, and maybe you don't need it, and put it back in?
You know, there is a Lindholm rule, just because you brought it up, Ron. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe you'd bring that up. For those plans, some 401k plans will actually automatically send the RMD to you, and it's the only case in which you can roll over that RMD to your IRA. The only RMD allowed to go back into your IRA. See?
Ron, you're getting it. This is terrifying. You
it's
and me.
So crazy.
Let's go on the road, man.
Now, that's something not a lot of people know. So my 401k, they required me to take $40,000 this year. I didn't want that money. Nice place to be. I get it.
Yep.
In that case, you can still roll that back into your IRA. It's the only RMD allowed to be rolled back into an IRA. And do we have a caller this time?
Dennis, my wife just passed away, and I have to roll her. Well, the question is, how do I roll her 401 into my 401? And second question is, can I draw money without penalty on her 401 as I roll it over to mine? I want to put an addition on.
First of all, Jim, I'm sorry for your loss. Wow. Now, how old are you?
74.
Okay. Well, you can certainly roll her account to yours. You want to request the forms from the 401k plan?
I did.
All right. Now, if you have them send you a check, they have to automatically withhold 20%. You may not want that automatic withholding done. If you transfer it to your own IRA, you can withhold the tax on your own terms. That may make it worth it to you. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So it's another step in the process. In this case, I would almost certainly recommend you get with a financial advisor. We're happy to sit with you as well, even on a a short-term basis here, because you're going to take the money right back out. Be happy to sit with you, Jim, if we can help, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. So the effect of compounding, many really don't understand that. In fact, when we're doing financial plans with clients and looking at the future, it's sometimes, honestly, it's amazing the impact of it long term. And it's not as though you have to look out into eternity to see the effect of compounding.
Ah,
10
yes.
years, 12 years, 15 years. It's amazing the difference. At $250 a month, I just ran this at the break here, at a 9% compounded rate. Now, none of these rates can be assured or guaranteed, you know, the typical disclosure, but it's not out of the realm at all to be able to think that the return could be in the 9% range over that period of time. $250 a month is worth about $48,000.
In what amount of time?
10 years.
10 years?
10. $48K. In 15 years, almost a double at $95,000. So 15 years at $250 a month. Basic car payment. And when you extend that, it's truly incredible. When you get out to 30, 35 years, well, I don't have any money that's going to grow that long. I mean, really, I'm 60 years old. Well, could you live to 90? Possibly. So you see where that might go. What if you do have some money growing at that rate? A typical conversation, but just thinking perhaps a bit more deeply about that, a bit more deeply. And Heidi has some points here to share before we get too deeply into my stuff again.
Okay.
Thanks, Heidi.
Sure. Well, a couple weeks ago, I talked a little bit about the SECURE Act that was working its way through the House of Representatives, and we talked about it. So that got me thinking, and I noticed that there was another bill working its way through the Senate, and it has a provision that might be of interest to a lot of people out there. It has to do with student loan debt, and this is something that people are now talking about as a crisis out there and the dramatic amounts of money that people owe on their education. And looking back at the history of this, Kiplinger's article attributes part of the blame to the federal government for the dramatic tuition increase that happened when they took over the programs in the mid-2000s. They increased demand for education while allowing students to borrow too much. That, in turn, allowed educational institutions to raise their prices. And according to inflationdata.com, they created the current student debt crisis. So when they look at this, 50% of the people who have student debt are not contributing to their retirement accounts because, you know, the burden is heavy for those student loan payments. So what this new bill that's working its way through the Senate addresses is allowing companies to put the match that we talked about earlier with Dennis into the retirement account based on the amount that they're paying on their student loans. So it's allowing them the opportunity to still be able to have some investment going on in their retirement accounts, in their 401k accounts, while they're paying off their student loans at the same time. So I really thought this was a nifty idea, and it could help some people start working on those retirement savings when maybe they just don't have the breadth to do both.
Did you say Kiplinger's said the current student loan crisis goes back to the mid-2000s when the government took over the student loan program? And so the demand increased because they made it easier for people to get loans.
Right. And they reduced some of the, like, the private institutions, the banks, might have had stricter criteria to be able to qualify for those student loans. Maybe.
That's a good song there, Ron.
So one interesting point to follow up is a couple of companies, I thought this was really interesting, have taken it on themselves, and they have actually gone to the IRS to get permission to do this, even though it's not law yet. And that's Abbott Laboratories and Travelers Company. So they went to the IRS and got a PLR, which is a private letter ruling, where you go to the IRS and you say, can I do this? Will this be okay? Hmm. And so I thought that was great, that on their own initiative. So they are, those have been approved, and they're currently offering that, which I thought was awesome. And, you know, those PLRs, they cost about $30,000. Wow. So it's, you know, you don't want to ask a casual question. You really want to have.
This isn't like buying someone a latte to see if it'll work out.
That's right.
Okay.
It's a little bit more intentional there.
That's really cool. I mean, and the companies that are forward thinking, I just heard of a company here locally that you have to opt out of contributing to your 401k. They automatically do it and you have to opt out. And I thought that is so smart in a way to get people thinking. I feel like now everyone thinks about, they figured out interest when it comes to buying debt, not on the positive side of compound interest. So if you look at, for example, you want to buy a car, I've done this. It's like, I'm going to look at the interest rate. So I'm looking, I'm paying on top of the car payment over the next 6 years, however the loan is, what you're really paying for the car, and then the cost of repairs, and then the insurance. I mean, you start doing that and you will never, it slows you down from making a bad decision, which Shay has that tendency with cars. But I think society's gotten used to looking at numbers that way.
They have. So what's the cost? And then the other side of it, what if that money is working for me?
Yes.
Which is obviously a totally different way of thinking about it. I actually did another rough. I knew you were going here, so I decided to figure this on my own. A $450 payment. $450 a month for 30 years at 9%. Any guesses? $450 a month for 30 years at 9% accumulation without looking at the answer, Heidi?
Oh. Yeah, I already know the answer.
About $823,000.
For how many? 30 years?
30 years. $450 a month.
Let me do, I would say, how much do you actually put in? $450 times 12.
360.
Equals? Times 30.
It's about 162.
That's what I thought. It's about 162,000.
You put in 162, and it's worth, if it were to earn the 9% compounded each year, 823.
Hello. How? This is a dumb question, but in general terms, how does compound interest work? Why does the money increase? Because all of your money and everybody else's money is piling up somewhere. And then smart investors go invest it and make money and pay you part of their earnings?
Well, the effect of compounding is interest on interest, as well as your principal continuing to grow. But it's interest on interest. So if you earn 5% on $100 in a given year, that's $5 that you've earned on that account. Okay.
But where does that money come from?
It comes from the investment itself. Okay. It's you get growth from three different places within a mutual fund, which is typically what's funding these 401k plans. It's the growth in the share price of the mutual fund. Still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's the dividends that are produced that mutual fund might have that are continually produced on a quarterly basis. Let's say a dividend is 2%. Well, oh, that's enough to make me yawn. 2%. I'm so excited. Well, then there's another portion. So we have the growth of the share price, the dividend, and then also at the end of the year, sometimes the capital gain. The capital gains declared by that mutual fund. Now, some would say that's already included in the share price, blah, blah. I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's still inclusive in terms of a rate of return. Given those three components, they all together. What's that mutual fund investing in, first of all? It's investing in companies that they anticipate will grow responsibly over a number of years. And they have a lot of people within those companies trying to grow that company's value because of its shareholders. It is an amazing concept of how companies work and our capitalistic society. the wealth created is due. Oh, boy, here we go. I mean, he's on his.
This is what gets him fired up.
The wealth created because these people within these companies are willing to take that risk to invest in something that they have strong confidence in its success in achieving, not only for the company, but for those people willing to invest. Obviously, they're basing that on a lot of research in many cases, sometimes their gut, but they're willing to put their own money at risk to try to achieve something that they can't do on their own because of all those investors piling in with them. So that return that's achieved by having invested in Walmart or an Apple or whatever it is, that product has to be significant risk up front. Significant risk. That return can be exponential over time. And who's investing? Many times mutual funds are investing in those companies to achieve what the same thing the owners can by having a percentage ownership in that company through buying stock in that company, share ownership. It allows you, Ron, if you wanted to buy a share of Amazon today.
Yes.
Amazon. It'd be, $1,850. Well, that's a lot of money to pay
for one share
of stock. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it's trading at. I haven't looked at today's trading rate, but let's just say it's $1,850 a share. Well, what caused Amazon to grow to that level? Well, the growth in the share value is caused by the growth in the value of the company, not only its prospects now, but into the future. All those things combined together allow shareholders and mutual fund shareholders to participate in those companies in the same way as someone who owns $1 billion in that mutual fund. You get the same return having invested $100 a month as someone with $1 billion. Oh, that can't be possible. The percentage return is the same, sir.
Sir, ma'am.
The same, sir
Amazon.
Or ma'am.
Amazon's at 1877 right now.
All right, so it's up a bit perhaps.
Up a little over 1% since yesterday.
See?
So you've already made money. Thank you.
Yeah. Interesting. It's a concept that, I mean, we don't really understand and has not been talked about enough. And I think if we talked about this in the coming weeks, how does this work, this capitalistic society, this capitalistic thing that we have going, and why is it so beneficial, and how has it created all this wealth? Well, there are a lot of components to that, but why should we want to see it continue may be the better question, because of what it's generated so far and what it can generate for our futures. Important.
Yes.
We have a question.
Let's go to Julie in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for Dennis Prout on New Retirement Radio. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning. I've got a question about a company 401k, and within this 401k, the company would match your contribution with company stock. And several years ago, there was a change in the law or something that said that the company could not require you to keep that match in the company stock after a certain amount of time. It could be rolled over into another fund within the 401k, or it could be rolled over to an IRA. Does that sound familiar? And we can't remember the specific rules.
Well, there's several rules in regards to company stock within 401ks. Do you have company stock still in that 401k?
I do not. I changed mine out when I thought it was a certain maybe age. But I've got a friend that's still in that fund, and they were trying to figure out what the rules were.
Okay. Are they ready to retire?
They they are in a position where they may be involved in a reduction in force.
Okay. Well, that's very important because there's significant tax benefits within those who own individual stock within a 401k.
Okay.
And the reason I asked that question was because of those tax benefits that could accrue to that employee who may be let go from the company, it sounds like to me. Is what you're saying?
Right. That's what they're looking at.
So it's called, there are three letters. N is in Nancy, U, A is in Apple. Okay, N-U-A, net unrealized appreciation. If you like, call our office. We can send you the information from Ed Slott and Company on that specific option that she, this your friend here, might be able to employ. Okay?
Okay.
And why it could make sense for her to employ that.
Okay. And what number would I call?
Call our office at 231-947-3992. 231-947-3992. Okay? And that is direct from Ed Slott and Company. It's excellent information, and I wish her well. And again, if you or her have any questions, feel free to call us, okay?
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take care.
If you don't mind, real quick, securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services CAS, a registered investment advisor. That's for Miss Heidi.
Thanks, Shay.
You're welcome.
Well, shall we get a quick call before we move forward?
Yes.
Let's go with Rick in Traverse City, Michigan. Good morning, Rick.
Well, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A quick question. Bitcoin IRAs, any thoughts on something like that?
Well, you can always do self-directed IRAs, but I don't know whether you can do Bitcoin in there or not. Can you?
Let me weigh in on this. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. That one, that's an interesting question. We're going to have to look that up.
Yeah. So have you investigated this?
Well, yes, to a degree, but, just online. And it appears that they're out there and that you can do it. And, of course, the concept is some diversification. And again, in small percentages, nothing major, but just in case, that 250 trillion dollar worldwide debt comes back and bites the fiat currency system.
Yes. Well, first off, the problem with investing that kind of money in a regular IRA is you can't write off the loss. So if you are wrong, the loss is double felt because you can't write it off on your tax. That would be the first thing I would think about that. Obviously, you're already talking about limiting your investment in it. Obviously, then you would limit your loss somewhat. But in terms of investing in the movement of a price of an asset alone without really an asset being there, that goes to the edge of my own risk tolerance. But, that's me. If you're aware, fully aware of the ins and outs and the cost related to that self-directed IRA, those are some of the first things I think about. What are all my costs having done this? And what are my risks given the prices of that in the last just 5 years alone? Okay.
All righty. One more quick one. Gold and silver portfolio. What do you have recommendations as far as 5%, 2%, 10%? Any thoughts?
Yes. In terms of, for those who are concerned about the global debt situation, having 5 to 10% of your total portfolio in commodities that are related to gold and silver, and or a replacement of the currency, that is, I think, a good hedge. It's a good insurance policy that hopefully that we'll never have to collect on. But it is an insurance policy, and never ever try to guess the price of where those commodities are going to go, because certainly they're very difficult to follow in terms of any making sense on any short-term basis, okay?
Yeah, and certainly a hedge is the best way to look at it. So.
Absolutely.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Rick, in Traverse City, as we go back to Dennis Prout. And Shay Pataja.
Shay Stats.
I do like what you said to Rick, though. You said that's on the edge of my risk tolerance, because that's a great way to describe how we work with clients, is figuring out what they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So that was, I like it.
So taking money out of a 401k, as the caller from Fort Wayne alluded to, number one, converting to a Roth IRA, taking a lump sum distribution. You can also leave it in the current plan. Conversation we had with a retiree, in essence, yesterday. What are the different options that you have, and looking at those in detail, and why might I want to leave it in the plan if I've been let go when I'm 55? Well, then you don't have to pay the penalty. Many different reasons, perhaps, why. You can move it to a new employer's plan, or you can roll the plan assets to an IRA. These are the many different options that we give to clients when they're thinking of moving money from a 401k and or leaving it in, again, from Ed Slott and Company. Being able to discuss those options and know what they are is a key component for someone's financial viability and success into the future. And those are conversations we have with clients, as well as allocation of the 401k if they're already in and working for an employer. Given the amount of wealth that can be created, why wouldn't we review that with a client?
Prout Financial Design,
231-947-3992 or proutfinancialdesign.com. Don't forget, all the radio shows are edited down to podcast length and are on iTunes and our website. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.